This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination.
Now let's have it, Steve. What about this monster story of yours?
Well, it's big and terrible. He's making his way toward the city's main line of defense. 300,000 volts of electricity strung around the city as a barrier. I can hardly believe what has just happened. Now it seems Tokyo has no defense. I'm saying a prayer, George. A prayer for the whole world. Steve Martin signing off from Tokyo, Japan.
Monsters on this episode of Destructomundo.
It's on, it's on.
There's no sound.
Play with the rabbit ears.
Hit reports, incredible as they seem, are not the results of mass hysteria.
Destructomundo.
Witnesses to the effect that people who acted as though they were in a kind of trance were killing and eating their victims prompted authorities to examine the bodies of some of the victims. Medical authorities in Cumberland have concluded that in all cases, the killers are eating flesh. The people they murdered. Repeating this latest public health response.
Well, tonight we're here with Jeremiah and
ahoy.
Derek. And we're going to discuss giant monsters.
Two giants? Giant monsters?
Giant monsters.
Okay, not just giant
big,
monsters.
Big, huge kind.
Giant monsters.
Giant.
Like taller than 7 foot tall.
Is that what constitutes a giant?
I don't know. Was Wilt Chamberlain a giant monster?
I don't know. I mean, his, you know, shot record was monstrous, definitely so.
I think it just means, yeah, we want to be clear that they're really giant monsters.
Right, yes.
Not just big and like, you know, the size of a house or the size of a bus, but like really big.
Yeah.
Towering, you know, hundreds of feet. Smashing through cities.
Yeah, I've always, you know, the classic giant monster, of course, is Godzilla.
Yes.
Kind of King of the Monsters, of course, Godzilla King. But they did have the famous battle with Godzilla versus King Kong. King Kong was much smaller than Godzilla.
Did they explain how he got taller?
I don't think they did. I think they just
made
him bigger for the...
Made him to scale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brought him up to being just a little bit
Because I thought maybe they would have said, you know, King Kong waded through some radioactive sewage or...
And got larger.
Or ate the food of the god.
I don't remember any details on
that. Ate a radioactive banana.
Kong is not... I guess the different sort of incarnations of Kong, they're all kind of like different sizes, really. I mean, the original...
Well, there's like Mighty Joe Young as well, you know, who's only larger than man. Like, he's about 9-10 feet tall or something. So.
I mean, the original Kong, I don't think, is anywhere near as big as like the De Laurentiis one from the 70s.
Well, okay, figure he that seems the much fist of Kong is...
And the one in the newer movie seemed a lot much larger than the original, too.
Kong's fist is able to pick up a person and hold her in his palm. So 6 feet from the top of your index finger to your pinky, roughly.
What's the thing? It's like there was more, like in the original, you saw more of like Fay Wray over one part of the hand and more leg at the bottom than the other ones where he's coming.
I think the De Laurentiis one's the biggest. I remember him like being really huge.
Yeah, because the hand is able to block her from running and she's not even able to look
and
over
then, like,
the top
the
of his
Peter
hand.
Peter Jackson one's not really huge, huge either, really.
Yeah.
He's
a
more
bit bigger than a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
More.
He's about the same size as a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and I think a Tyrannosaurus Rex is around 25 to 30 feet.
But yeah, I think in the Toho one, they just sort
of... What about Ape?
They just sort of... Ape?
And have you ever seen Ape? I think it's the Korean one. It's like A, asterisk, P, asterisk, E, asterisk.
No, I don't think I've seen Ape.
I've only seen the movie poster for Ape. It's supposed to be
I've seen most of the... copies or rip-offs, but I don't think I've seen Ape.
No,
the Korean
no.
King Kong.
The Korean monster movies are the best. Also,
I've seen Yongari, Monster of the Deep, which is the Korean Godzilla.
Right. That's awesome, because you can actually see the blowtorch in his mouth when he's shooting flame out.
Yongari is terrible. And Gorgo, which is the British Godzilla, which
I've
is
never seen
fucking that. Unwatchable. It's just terrible.
Which was Reptilicus? Is he Swedish or Danish?
Danish. It's Danish. Danish. It's filmed, Danish filmed on location in Copenhagen. Hagen.
And that was
Copenhagen. Hagen.
I don't know if it's Copenhagen or Copenhagen.
I guess it depends on where you are.
I don't speak Dansk.
Dansk.
It was a marionette, wasn't it?
Pretty much, it's on strings, and it spews that like neon green vomit fire.
That's another almost unwatchable one.
Yeah, but
just bad enough that you can watch it.
But yeah, I think Godzilla, the Gojira's what 50? What year is it? 50?
What year is it now?
No, what year did Gojira come out? I don't 53? Remember.
53, because 50. 7, I thought, was when... No, 56 was when Godzilla King of the Monsters came out, because 2006 was the 50th anniversary of Godzilla. So
but I think
it would have preceded that.
Somewhere between 50 and 55 years.
I guess that's sort of the... That's the archetype of, like, the modern giant rampaging monster.
Sure.
Certainly. But, yeah, I guess it can go, you know, there's earlier things, but and there's a lot of those kind of giant space monster movies from the 50s. There's some American ones, too. But obviously, Godzilla's the king of the monsters.
Absolutely.
Can't argue that.
No. I mean, he appears in so many of the ones, even the ones that don't have him as, like... I mean, he plays, you know, he's the star. He's the, you know, the guy that comes out. Mm-hmm. But he fights so many different monsters. Mothra.
Godzilla, and obviously, you know, he developed his sort of into a character. Initially, it's just a monster.
It goes from like villain to anti-hero to hero.
Yeah,
to
he's
back
more,
to
anti-hero.
I mean, initially, initially,
he's the
it's, you know,
anti-hero.
He's just initially, it's just a monster. But you know, as you go through the films, and it actually becomes a character, and
it's
it actually
almost
has
like the Han Solo of giant monsters.
Well, people are there rooting for him, and you got to kind of have him fighting something that's tearing up Tokyo.
Yeah.
God, Tokyo just gets flattened all the time. You would think that, like, insurance would be
he's
incredibly
never,
high in Tokyo.
He's never, like, you know, entirely the good guy, but, you know, it's always...
And sometimes it's not so much that he's helping us out as he is mad that some monster has invaded his turf.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, he's pissed off that somebody's down there, you know, roughing up his territory. That's his buildings he's flattening. It's like, you know, somebody coming over to your house and playing with your toys, man. And you
but
come home and there he is, and you're like, what the hell? Get out of my stuff.
Marks his territory.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, it's obviously, I guess there's, the appeal of it is obvious, I guess. I mean, it's so dramatic, you know, the whatever, 200, 300 foot tall, giant rampaging
Well, it kind of combines a lot of different types of movies. I mean, your monster movie, your science fiction movie, your disaster movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely rockets and ray guns. You got, like, everything in those. Especially the ones with the aliens. And
And there's, I mean, all the way, you know, with Godzilla, there was it had social consciousness as well.
Sure.
That's in a lot of the Toho movies have messages, you know.
Well, we're kind of at fault, the Americans, anyways, for bringing about Godzilla, in so much as that the bomb.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's it's
woke up Godzilla and gave him nuclear fire because you know he was supposed to be like a prehistoric creature, you know, lying dormant. Right. And then, like, was awakened and given power by nuclear testing.
But a lot of them have that kind of.
That was the only enjoyment I derived from the American Godzilla movie with Matthew Broderick or whatever. We blamed it on the French.
Yes,
I actually don't remember much about that movie. Yeah, I saw it once, and it was so unbelievably. Dreadfully awful.
It was terrible.
I mean,
I fell asleep during it,
most
and I've
it,
never
fell most of it's like a blur.
We made a Godzilla movie, and we blamed it on the French.
Hmm. I didn't remember that
because it has
is there like nuclear testing and I don't know where.
Well, Jean Reno's in it, and he plays a
it's like a French super spy.
What's the French the French Secret Service called or the
Black Jacques Chirac?
Yeah, the Black Jacques Chiracs.
Now I don't know.
What were they called, though? They were the... I used to know this.
There was the DGSE for years.
But then
I don't know if it's the same.
The same ones that pull the fingernails out of people.
The DGSE was the notorious one.
Yeah.
Much like, I guess, like when the CIA started from the OSS and they had recruited guys from some seedier sections of...
Yeah.
But the DGSE was supposedly... had connections with, like, the French mafia from Marseille.
Oh, yeah, they're all, like, Marseille dark workers and crazy people.
But they were known to be brutal, especially their... This is a total aside, but their... OAS, the Algerian separatist people that tried to assassinate De Gaulle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the DGSE and their persecution of them supposedly were.
They did some pretty brutal stuff.
Anyway,
I heard tearing off of eyelids and stuff like
but
that.
But no, I didn't remember that we blamed the French for the new Godzilla.
Yeah. They show a bunch of nuclear tests at the beginning, and then they say that, you know, it's the French nuclear test that what broke up Godzilla. Because apparently it didn't take place in the Pacific Ocean so much as it did the Atlantic Ocean. And I don't know where they would have done it. In the Atlantic Ocean.
It was like some like Caribbean island that the French still had as like a protectorate or something.
Or right outside of French Guiana.
Nuking stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that ever took place, but whatever.
But I guess obviously when someone, I mean obviously then you had like the giant monster movie with Gojira, Godzilla, the first one, where he appears and he rampages and smashes things and gets, you know, and then they have to fight them with, with tanks and planes and all that stuff. But then I guess the obvious, you know, somebody said, you know, well, you know, the next time, like, you know, there needs to be another monster. You have to have, like, monster fighting monster.
Sure. You can't just have a monster fighting tanks because
so,
it gets old after a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's like,
smash
that's
just about anything.
It's the obvious leap of, like, you know, so then, yeah, I mean, obviously with, like, the Toho, the pantheon almost of monsters.
Sure,
there's, you know,
sure.
So many of
the
them.
The definitive pantheon of monsters.
Great outfit. with, you know, I mean, because in all, you know, with you've just the obvious thing of like, yeah, you've got to have monster fighting monster. And then it became, you know, it is so much like professional wrestling or something, you know, and you've had like the 2-on-1 matches there's the tag team like in Godzilla versus Megalon where it's 2-on-2 and they really actually do tag team fight there at the end,
right.
You know. And then Destroy All Monsters, which is the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I mean, it's consistent with like the old Universal Monster movies, too, where they kept adding monster and
that's
monster
true,
on
yeah.
top of each other.
Sure, and they would pair them up, and then Dracula and Frankenstein. And
House of Dracula, all kinds of ones where they just stick as many as they can in there.
The crossover, yeah.
Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein.
Yes, which was a Universal, so they had all the good...
I'm actually wearing my Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein boxer shorts.
Oh, okay. Yes, he is, actually.
Once you make that monster suit, you know, you got to keep using it, you know?
I would love to have that suit. I could afford, like, a production suit of... I would wear it all the time.
You know, you've got all the different... And some, you know, and then the monsters, you know, like, Mothra had Mothra's own movie, and then Mothra's in some Godzilla movies, and just like, you know, there's Rodan, and then there's Rodan is in obviously this one we're watching, Godzilla versus Monster Zero.
Oh yeah.
Right at this moment, actually we're watching Invasion of Astro Monster, which is the original Japanese version, but
Monster Zero and later monsters that have more than one head, like, which one is it? Is it Ghidra?
Well, this is Ghidra.
Oh, Ghidra. Yeah,
this is Monster the first Zero. Appearance of Ghidra.
Okay. But they don't, like, call him Ghidra. They call him Monster Zero, right?
Well, the Earthlings call him King Ghidra.
Oh, that's where that comes from.
But he's Monster Zero on Planet X.
Yeah, because everything is
numbered there. He's Monster Zero. Yeah. But on Earth, they know him as King Ghidra.
I got you.
And then he comes back
that
later.
I was confused.
In Godzilla's Monster 1 and Rodan's Monster 2.
Yeah.
Oh.
But then later, there's Ghidra, the three-headed monster.
Right, right. Which in his own film.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he came back in the 90s as Mechaghidra.
Right.
Yeah, because he lost a head in one movie, and they gave him a mechanical head.
And he's got, like, mechanical wings. He's got, like, metal wings and one head.
Yeah, one of the
metal. Right.
Just one of the movies Godzilla really messed him up.
But there's a Mechaghidra.
And Mechagodzilla. Mechagodzilla.
There's several Mechagodzillas.
With the fingertips.
The original
missiles.
The original one is cool. Yeah.
That's
because then you had monsters. Then someone came up with the idea of, like, then taking, like, Mecha, the giant robot stuff, and mixing Mecha with Kaiju, the giant monster stuff.
Right.
So then you've got giant monster fighting giant robot, which it really doesn't get any better than that.
No, I can't see how it possibly could get
better. See, Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, there's the second Toho Kong movie has Mecha Kong in it.
Yeah.
Where Kong fights Mecha Kong.
Mecha Kong?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever remember seeing Mecha
Kong. Is that?
Doesn't he end up losing it? Because he has, like, fake flesh on at first, and doesn't he, like, start losing chunks of it?
Well, that's right. He burns it away.
Godzilla,
yeah,
Godzilla burns.
I've seen that. Yeah,
Godzilla
yeah.
burns the
He burns the,
fur
the flesh
off,
and it's, yeah, it's a big, giant robot Kong.
There's
which
a Mecha
is
Kong.
The best ever. How could he possibly go wrong with a robot ape?
Yeah. And then, Godzilla versus Megalon has Jet Jaguar.
That's right.
Who's
Jaguar's the shit.
The fabulous.
Yeah, Derek has a great picture of Jet Jaguar.
I have a production
Godzilla.
Still, a production still from Godzilla versus Megalon of the four of them. What I like about that picture is it's not a frame from the movie. Like it's like a
production still of the cast.
Of the four of them in costumes posing. Because there's no scene in the movie where all four of them, like, look out at you.
Tear down the fourth wall by looking at the camera.
Exactly.
Sure.
So it's
and
not,
then pose.
It's,
yeah,
it's not one of those pictures, like, it's just a still from the movie.
Yeah, they're not, like, standing with their arms around each other, you know, hugging and going, hey.
But it's the four, it's the three monsters and the one robot posing. But, yes. Jet Jaguar, who was sort of the, Ultraman type thing.
Right. And Ultraman is another, like, defender of the Earth versus the monsters. And
And it had that, again, because you had, like, the giant guy, Ultraman, and, like, so he always has to fight a giant something.
Sure.
You know. And it was the same kind of thing, years later, with, like, the Power Rangers. The monsters would initially be, like, normal-sized, people-sized.
Right.
And then when, like, the big you know, Power Ranger robot things there, then somehow the monster suddenly becomes huge.
Well, I actually watched a few of them, and, like, the bad guy that would send the monster, they would fight the Power Rangers, like, Kung Fu style, as normal size, and the Power Rangers would start to win, and then, like, the powerful, like, evil woman or man or whoever would go, oh, this isn't going well, I'm turning them giant.
Yeah, Ultraman's the same way, because I have those on DVD. I've been watching them. First time I've seen them since the 70s, when I watched them every day after school.
Right, right.
But it's that same thing. That a lot. Well, sometimes the monsters are, you know, giant to start with, but a lot of them are like... There's a really weird one with this mummy. They find a mummy inside some tomb somewhere in the Japanese countryside, and it's like... It's got this weird kind of, like, monkey mask face.
Really?
And it's really fucking creepy looking, and it accidentally gets, like, electrified and comes back to life. And it's like killing people by shooting like electrical, like lightning bolts out of its hands. But it's the creepiest fucking thing. And then, like, at the end, you know, it has to turn giant, right? You know, so then all, you know, and it's the same thing. You know, the science patrol tries to fight it with their ray guns. Yep. And then,
that's another thing. The science patrol.
What's her name?
I love them.
I can't think of her name. Fuji? I don't remember the one female member.
I think it is Fuji.
They never let her do... I wanted to say Fujiko, but I know that's from something else. But I think it's Fuji, but they never let her do anything. She gets to, like, fly the ship and drive the car, but...
Well, she's not a fighter. She's a Nova.
But then, you know, but then they can't defeat it, so, and it gets big, you know, and they can't defeat it with normal stuff. And then Hayata has to summon the, you know, power of Ultraman and become giant. And And then it's the classic kaiju battle of smashing up the set and stomping on... That was like lots of oil refinery looking things, so the big oil tanks can explode. Yeah, they love that type of stuff. Yeah, but it's great stuff. I don't know.
It's got to be a dangerous gig when you're wearing a giant rubber suit.
I would think so, yeah.
By fire. Yeah, like, or things that might indeed blow up at some point.
There's a lot of pyrotechnics, I would imagine.
So you lose a lot of weight wearing those suits.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big rubber suit.
It's always struck me as odd that there are people who don't like these sort of movies. I don't know. I don't get it. How can you not just love it? I don't know.
Well, the like when we were talking prior to the show about like Kurosawa's and great like friendship with Hondo,
I mean it's
Shiro Hondo.
It's great to me. I think it's just that's an amazing thing because it's like the two great exports of Japanese film, and you really couldn't get anything more radically different.
Right, they are polar opposites.
But it's two guys that just love what they were doing, and you know, loved movies. You know, I guess loved film for what it was, and you know, I don't know.
Ultimately, film is entertainment.
I'm sure there must have been some amazing conversations between the two of them.
And they are incredibly entertaining films, and they're not like so bad in the acting that you can't watch them.
Because there's awful stuff like we were talking about Reptilicus, which is that's like early to mid 60s. It's Danish. They find like a fossilized piece of some creature or something, and then somehow it gets like electrified and it starts to reconstitute and it grows into this puppet. Kind of big it looks sort of like a big reptilian. It's got sort of like a worm like snake like body with kind of a dragonish head, but it's really just like it's a big puppet because you can see the strings as they sort of dangle it through the streets, you know, of the little toy Copenhagen. And instead of like breathing fire or lightning, you know, type of stuff, like Monster Zero's doing here, it sort of spews this liquid, and it's like this bright green puke that it kind of squirts out of its mouth, and it's like actually being mechanically pumped out of the puppet's mouth.
Well, that's like Yongari.
Yes,
I only saw
Yongari once, and it's like a South Korean Godzilla,
as opposed to the North Korean Godzilla.
Well,
I can't even imagine what that would be like.
Godzilla's river dancing.
I just didn't want to say Korean.
He's so happy.
But yeah, it's a Korean Godzilla ripoff from the 60s, and he is supposed to breathe fire, but there's actually like a gas nozzle inside the
mouth. Yeah, you can see it.
With like a flame coming out of it. I mean, it's not the overlaid atomic fire. You know, it's actual fire. It's terrible. And like I said, and Gorgo, which is English. And it's, you know, it's sort of like Kong, some expedition somewhere finds this giant, you know, reptile thing, sort of like Godzilla, and they take it back to England, and it's in a circus or something. No, or they find a little one, and then the big one comes looking for the little one or something like that. I think that's what it is. I think they capture the little one, and they put it in the circus.
Kind of like Jaws 3D.
And
Wow.
And
which was honest, you know what's strange? Richard Matheson wrote Jaws 3D. Like,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was looking that up to see like some of the films that he was involved in. He wrote the screenplay for Jaws 3D.
Okay. Wow. But yeah, I think they capture the little Gorgo. I think is why they call him that. And then like its mother comes looking for it and rampages through London.
That happens a lot. Anytime like an egg is hatched, you know, like Mothra had a bunch of that sort of deal going on too.
One of the girls.
The little
princesses in the box.
Oh yeah, give us the egg.
Ma-da-da. And then like all the natives on the island that do the. One of the '90s Godzillas has. Which one is it? Has like these sort of pterodactyl creatures, and they catch some of the young ones. They find them in some volcano somewhere, and they find some young ones, and of course then the mother comes looking for them and rampages.
Right.
And Godzilla. All the ones from the 90s and stuff. The last decent one was Godzilla 1985, which was the first one made in a long time. I remember.
Yeah, that actually brought back Raymond Burr.
I remember going to the theater to see it, and if I remember correctly, it was okay.
Godzilla 2000 wasn't too bad in comparison to the previous years.
I don't like the new ones because I don't like the way he looks. I don't like his.
I don't. Yeah, the face is all kind of just. It's given
the ridges
a,
are bonier.
He's like really muscle bound. He's got a really weird little head. Yeah. He's got the big thick neck that goes up to the little bitty head, and he's real like mean looking in the face. He's real real strange. I don't like the one
right before that was kind of paunchy, kind of like
looked like
he was kind of fat. Yeah. Like he was eating real well.
I like they
did with Superman, where like in the 40s, he was like this big, blocky, burly guy. Yeah. And then
what
like
does Godzilla eat, anyways? Muscular. You never see him devour like another monster, and he doesn't seem to pick up and eat
Japanese people.
Wasn't
he eating like energy or something in the first one? Wasn't he like sucking energy or something like that from like the power lines?
He powers up from stuff like that.
Nuclear power plant. Yeah.
Presumably,
like
he has to eat. Maybe he just eats fish and stuff. He's in the ocean.
Right.
And whales.
Grr.
He is Japanese. He probably eats a lot of whale.
Well, they had him really coming from the sea in
the real
terrible
reason
American
whales
version.
Are on the endangered species list is because Godzilla keeps eating them.
Well, they had him like coming up the wharf in New York, and you know, I can't believe they did that to Godzilla. I just cannot believe it. I remember seeing a interview with the writer for Godzilla. It was he's an Asian guy. But I don't think he's Japanese. I think he might be Chinese of heritage. But he was American. But kind of remember listening to this guy talk, and he was like, well, you know, we've done this with Godzilla, and we've, you know, really brought Godzilla into the modern era and this sort of thing. And I remember hearing this guy spiel about all this and then going to see the movie. And I remember at the time Matt said, our friend Matt, he said all they had to do was delete 1 second of CG and spend that money on a script.
Yeah.
And they would have had a decent movie. Yeah, and that was indeed what happened. They made it all this giant CGI boar fest, because most of the time Godzilla was just sitting around hiding from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the city.
Remember the thing with like, is it like, where is it, like Madison Square Garden or wherever, like all the eggs are?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all that. Yeah, see, that's unnecessary. You don't need that shit.
It was fully weak as hell.
I'm sitting there thinking, it's like, okay, helicopter gunships flying through Manhattan fighting Godzilla. That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And seeing it, it's just like, this is disappointing.
It was the weakest thing. It was like Operation Dumbo Drop, only with Godzilla, because they were going to, like, drop him food. and stuff like that. It was just totally
listeners,
weak.
You should look for the clip of classic Godzilla versus new Godzilla. It's in, I think, the last Godzilla movie, and
which
it takes,
none of us have seen. We just
I've only seen the clip, and it takes original Godzilla about 20-25 seconds to dispatch new Godzilla, which made me really happy.
Terrible America.
I think it had to have been something.
See, I like this scene here where they're taking off from Planet X and they're watching Godzilla and Rodan on the screen.
Fight, or just standing around.
Because they're like sort of leaving them there, they think.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't help but feel sorry for them. And they're sitting there like looking like, what do we do, man? We're stuck here. And like,
and the Planet X people, they don't really have a name. They're not like Planet Xians. No, they're Planet not, X but, people.
Yeah.
With great
outfits. See, at this point, they still think the people from Planet X are good guys. They don't realize that they've been royally double-crossed.
Well, they're wearing, you know, leather black and gray. I mean,
yep.
That's a visual cue.
See,
I know.
See,
from Earth's history, you should realize
the rocket ship's taken off,
right?
And you see Godzilla,
not good guy outfits.
And you see Godzilla and Rodan looking sort of lonely and dejected.
Yeah, Rodan's kind of waving his wings.
Yeah. Left on the barren.
Where are you going?
The barren Planet X. I love the decor. Look at the tiny battleship Yamato there.
That's pretty cool.
Interesting. But I'm sorry. I'm watching this movie.
Right. We felt that it was good background for us. We always are kind of watching something.
Yeah. There's nothing on TV. There's probably some softcore on later.
Yeah. You know. From our previous episode where we watched
Co-Ed Confidential.
Oh, God.
Anyway, but you know, I've blanked most of that American Godzilla out of my mind. But
yeah. So were there any giant monsters that were just like the good guy from the get-go? I mean, wasn't Gamera a good guy from the get-go?
There was the Gargantua brothers. The
War of the Gargantuas?
Yeah, War of the Gargantuas. The brown Gargantua was a good guy, and the green Gargantua was the evil one. Or
Grape
was it the other way around?
I forgot about Grape Ape.
But no, I think, Gamera.
He was as big as King Kong.
He rode on top of the van.
Yeah.
Gamera is that's the giant, fire-breathing, jet-powered flying turtle. I believe Gamera is good in all the... I don't think... Yeah,
has a sort of like evil start, but then a good finish. Like Mothra's kind
of
the...
I think the moth version of Mothra is like always good. The worm is the one that, like the caterpillar version, was the one that kind of caused trouble.
Yeah, it messes around a little bit. And
but I think the moth is like always good.
Yeah. Then he's got the kids, like the two... I don't know how that worked. It was like Big Mothra and the little kid Mothras, the tinier ones. Am I remembering that right?
I don't know. That
may be like more than one.
That
like
may be from
Mothra
one of the
larvae.
That may be from one of the new ones. There's a 90s with Mothra.
I think that's what it is. Yeah, and I didn't care for much of the 90s.
Most
Godzilla
of the there's
movies.
A 90s version. They bring back just about everybody because there's the new Mechagodzilla. There's the new Mothra.
Mechagodzilla's just awesome. I would love.
There's
to
Godzilla
ride
versus.
The head of
there's
Godzilla
the
and fight.
Godzilla versus Space Godzilla, which is awful.
yeah.
Where he fights the space mutant version of himself.
Isn't it like that? The glowing
the crystals like, that are sticking out of him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a piece of his tissue that somehow gets
thrown into space.
Shot into space, and it fuses with something and mutates or something, energized space crystals. And he gets help at the end from a two-piece robot thing that's total Shogun Warriors.
Oh, there's, Shogun Warriors.
Because it's a robot, it's a like a tank and a jet. And then they fuse to form a robot and it fights. But
giant robots.
It's total Shogun Warrior. That's the only decent thing from that. And it's actually, because I was playing the Godzilla game, the PS2 game recently with my nieces. We hadn't played in a long time, but it's one of those like fighting games, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a... there's a couple of them. I don't remember which one it is. But it's kind of 3D, like there's a city, you know, and you're fighting another, but they're all Godzilla monsters. But it has that robot thing from the new one because they didn't know what it was from. And I'm like, that's from Space Godzilla.
Yeah, I remember the Crystal Space Godzilla.
Yeah, but that's a terrible movie.
Well, we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back right after these messages. Hello, listeners. This is James from Destructomundo Podcast. We would like to ask you to take some time to reflect on what our quality programming means to you. Our programming that we provide for free to you, our loyal listeners, comes with a price. Adam has to be lured in to do the show with the promise of many hams, sausages, and bacon goods. Ted has to be driven in a horse-drawn chariot to our studios in order to perform in his accustomed manner. Jeremiah has his midget entourage. I'm sorry, they prefer to be called prostitutes. Derek must have blood. Gallons and gallons of blood. All of this keeps our production costs high, and although we have tightened our belts during this economic downturn, we would like to ask for your support in helping keep this level of quality programming coming to you by asking that you visit www.destructomundopodcast.com and clicking on the Google Ads on the right side of the page. It only takes a minute. It can mean so much to a starving child like Consuela here. Please don't turn your back on Consuela and the thousands of other children like her that need your help. Thank you for your time and your mouse clicks.
Variant Frequencies, your speculative fiction dial. Find us at www.variantfrequencies.com. Variant Frequencies is a podcast that stretches the entire bandwidth of genre fiction, modulated by a constant element of the fantastic. Every month, we give you a new story, so tune in, turn the volume up, and let some of our weird carrier waves distort your reality for just a little while.
Okay, we're back.
Back.
Derek said, I was trying to remember the name of Voltron. You know, we're actually friends with Voltron on the MySpace.
On the MySpace.
The MySpace.
On the interwebs. On the tubes, you know.
Somewhere in the tubes.
Tubes.
So I can see their boots. Those are cool. The X guys. Planet X guys.
Planet X guy's got the greatest dresses. Costumes ever, anyhow. So,
but their boots—they have like the little curly, like elf shoe toes on their boots. I'd forgotten about that. They just showed them, but those outfits are wicked.
Anyhow, Derek was saying that like chicks are like Voltron. The more you can hook up, the better.
I didn't create that saying, but I read that somewhere again on the internet. But.
Well, in the tubes. Nothing like the tubes.
I don't remember where, but no, James was trying to remember the name of Voltron, which was another, yeah, the five lions.
Yeah.
The five lion robots that joined together.
Never a big Voltron fan for the cartoons. I think it was a little after my life.
It wasn't very good. No.
But yeah, Mazinger Z and like the
clock goes to 24.
It's a 24-hour clock.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You can get those.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I've seen them before.
I've never seen one before.
It'd be kind of weird, but...
But the, yeah, the...
That's another thing from that same era from the 70s with all the Shogun Warriors.
Warriors and, the, yeah, Amazing Cuisine. Like, they had all the cool... And they fought their share of monsters.
Yeah.
It was a long...
A lot of that was... there was robot-on-robot action. There was giant robot on giant robot. There was a lot of giant monsters too.
But no Lincoln Logging. No Lincoln Logging with the robots. They did link up, but they didn't Lincoln Log.
That's another. I don't know where that came from. Either. That was the last. I introduced everyone to the term Lincoln Logging.
You're killing me.
Oh my God. There's kids right now. Another guy. Our friend in Australia that lets his kids listen to the show like having to explain Lincoln Logging to his children. But
if you're too young to remember Shogun Warriors, it was a...
Daddy, what was Lincoln Logging?
There were comic books, and then there were cartoons, and then there were toys. And they were like giant robots that, you know, a guy climbed inside of it, and it predated... All the Gundam stuff, you know.
Yeah, and Gundam Wing is another like giant. Like you didn't have too many monsters. No monsters.
And that's
Wing.
That's like pure mecha.
Yeah,
that's you know. But yeah, Shogun Warriors was similar, but it predated it because all the cartoons came, I guess. Earliest ones are probably early 70s. Grandizer.
Yeah.
He was Grandizer in the U.S. It's UFO Robot Grandizer was the original title.
Oh, is it UFO Robot? Awesome.
Yeah. Because there was the flying saucer that was the little ship the guy flew, and then the ship, he could fly, the flying saucer flew into the robot, like locked into it, and became the command module.
Right.
And then they were all like that pretty
much. What was the one in Mazinger Z's head?
That one was the little, like, red triangular ship, little jet, and he flew into the head, like the top. Head, and it locked. I take that back. Grandizer, there was a big white UFO that the robot connected to, and then it became a big flying ship, and then the robot could disconnect and fight. But yeah, Mazinger Z was the one where the little jet thing flew into the back of the head of the robot and locked in.
Yeah, because he had the crown-shaped kind of head.
But Grandizer, like, the robot would sort of fly into, he would kind of fly through the side of the UFO and lock into it so that his head stuck out the front, and there was like a big flying disc with a robot head, and then he could fly like that. But then he would like to see it was UFO Robot Grandizer.
Well, then there's the mecha from Robotech.
Yeah,
that fought the what's the monsters in Robotech called?
The bad guys. I don't remember.
I wonder what the bad guys in Robotech. I can't think. We need our fact checker. Yeah.
That kind of stuff. I guess. That was the evolution, because you had Kaiju, the giant monster movies.
Yeah.
And then in the 60s, you got that, I can't think of the name, the Japanese word, but they came all the TV shows. They're basically like the hero shows. I can never remember there's a term. But they're all those costumed hero shows.
Like Ultraman and things like that.
And some of them were like normal human-sized guys, and they just had like a cool suit and like a... They'd either have like a cool car or a jet, you know, and they fought aliens and weirdos and stopped crime and saved the world. That Japanese, like, sci-fi TV shows from the 60s. And then there were different variations. Some of them were just sort of like costume crime fighters, and then some of them had... you know, superpowers, and then you had the ones like Ultraman, where they got giant, and then that sort of crossed over with the kaiju giant monster stuff. It was a variation, or like a fusion of the two, of taking like the hero shows. I cannot think of that word. I think it starts with a K, but there's what they're called, those something shows that started all that. And then the first big one, there was stuff like Spectre Man, which predated Ultraman.
That's right, Spectre Man. I didn't remember
there
that.
There was, what's the other one I'm trying to think of? Some of the ones that got a little bit of international exposure. But Ultraman was like the first big one in the U.S., which was, I guess, sort of the ultimate fusion of the hero shows with the kaiju giant monster stuff.
Well, then there was some of the monster stuff that they fought in... Battle of the Planets and Gatchaman.
Yeah. Because Spectre Man is like, it had the evil Dr. Gory, the space gorilla guy in the Nehru suit. He would like create monsters from like, I think it had social consciousness too, because if I remember correctly, like he made a lot of monsters from like, it was like pollution, garbage, mutant things and shit, you know, and Spectre-Man would have to fight them and shit like that. But I never saw as much of that one. But yeah, you've got all the variations and then the crossover. That's the term I was trying to think of, like the crossover stuff between the two. So, I mean, once you've got the really good basic formula, obviously there's always variations.
Yeah, you're not limited completely to one genre. You can go like,
and like I said before, I mean, if you can get giant monsters and giant robots in the same stuff,
yeah, yeah,
that's a winning combination.
Sure, and especially if it's like the, you have the robots and the mecha, so you can like ride around inside of it, like in like Mechagodzilla was more of a mecha than robot, you know. But then you had the giant robot, like Robot Kong, and that sort of thing, and it's just very, very cool application.
I saw recently, I saw online where for some exhibition somewhere in Japan, they built a actual life-size model of a Gundam.
I've seen that.
It's
like they show it on the floor.
It's laying
like
on its back. Yeah.
I can't tell if that's real or not because all the print is in Japanese. So I
but
can't
yeah, it was built for some like exhibition thing.
But yeah, they showed a picture of it on the floor. I remember seeing that. It was like in New Type magazine. And yeah, they had this freaking Gundam on the floor. And it's amazing looking, this giant freaking life-size mecha. I would love to see more pictures of that, but I couldn't tell if it was Photoshopped or not.
No,
I just couldn't tell.
It was some, like, I don't remember, some, like, sci-fi or, like, art and science thing or something. But,
well, it's about time. The Japanese really need to get to work on this. I mean, like,
But then I saw another thing. I saw another thing. I saw it online, and then I think they mentioned it on Attack of the Show. But the equivalent, I guess, of like the sort of like the Japanese like Department of Defense type of thing. Just as for some reason, but they
Self Defense Force.
No, but like the equivalent of that. It was the branch of the government that handles the military type of stuff, not the actual military, but something like that. But just for some reason, they sort of calculated like a theoretical cost of producing a real Gundam.
Really?
And it was like $700 and something million or something.
Oh, that's not as much as I think. I mean, I know some planes.
But it was actually like a broken down list of like they would, you know, trying
to... It's
like,
what, 2 weeks in Iraq?
Trying
to... Right, I mean, I think a stealth bomber is like $1 billion. I think it's $1 billion.
But it was many, many high. But it was just...
send our Gundams to Iraq and end this now.
But nobody could...
I would go for... I am in support of any war that contains giant robots fighting.
But it had like a broken down thing. But nobody knew enough Japanese to kind of read the whole thing and figure out exactly why they did it. But it was kind of like this itemized, like projected, like what would it maybe cost to try to build something like that? But of course, the problem was, you know, they don't have a source for Gundanium. it was like that's the problem.
Oh,
there's the stuff.
It's a shame.
Man, I love the little artillery pieces that shoot electricity.
Yeah, the electro ray cannon.
Hell yeah!
But
I think that was the one thing that I missed from Cloverfield. Is I really was wishing they would have some sort of like something that threw electricity.
You see, that's when. Yeah, I guess we need to talk about that film. It's recent history for us. So
I haven't seen it, but I know it's a giant monster.
We spoiled it for you.
Yeah.
Damn.
Can't get it past Derek. He's too sharp. You saw it from the commercials. Yeah, it is a good... It's a Cloverfield. I mean, if you've seen it, you know what we're talking about. Seen commercials for it. It's a bunch of hipsters getting stomped on, apparently. Which I have no problem with.
Yeah,
it was great. I mean, it's the same feeling I had towards people in horror movies that, you know, the campers that get, you know... That do it and
yeah,
get
it's,
killed
it's a
by
bunch
the,
of people that spend, you know, 2 hours a day on their hair to make it look messed up.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Sweaters are too tight, wearing their sister's jeans, getting stomped on by a giant monster.
But the plot
Ow.
Is not much different than Good that shot. Of a standard monster movie, other than you have like the because you do have a lot of times in movies like people being separated from one another and. And they're trying to get to, you know, find them, make sure that they're okay and in a situation. Although it has a lot less stomping of the monsters, it's showing the effects of the stomping of the monsters.
Yes, it's almost more like a disaster movie than a giant monster.
It is,
movie.
And it's a good idea.
Until
it's
the army shows up, it's pretty much a disaster movie.
It's a monster movie on the ground. It's a... And you don't see the monster in very...
Just bits and pieces.
Very limited shots do you ever see what it is. And you only see parts of it, which is good.
Yeah.
And you see the effects. Like, they have a building that's knocked over and leaning against another building, and they have to go from the one building that's still standing up to the one that's leaning over and get the girl out of that building.
Yeah.
And she lives, like, in the
That
penthouse.
Sounds like some Irwin Allen Earthquake
It's stuff. Pretty cool. It's very Towering Inferno-like. And
Where they lower Glenn Ford on... Lauren Green on the office chair that's tied to the fire hose.
Right, yeah. Very
and then 70s disaster. And then he has a heart attack, and then... anyway.
And has a few of the, you know, your classic monster movie moments, like the stomping of the...
Had to have a production moment here.
Operator error.
Get one of the grips over here to take.
Yeah. We need staff is what we need.
There's a nice self-propelled howitzer that gets stomped on by the monster, which was pretty cool looking.
Hey, if you got something, you know, that the... If you got some vehicles, monsters love to stomp on some vehicles, especially vehicles that shoot at you, and smashing trains. Nothing like smashing trains.
And I'm not the biggest fan of CGI, but there's a scene in the movie where they use a CGI stealth bomber that is actually really cool looking, because they're kind of looking at it from the angle of a helicopter.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's not a bad flick. I wasn't sure what I would think about it. J.J. Abrams is responsible for... that film, and as well as Lost, and I never really got into Lost.
So I was gonna say I loathe him and think he's a
hack,
pretty much a talentless hack
who uses a lot of people's stuff, and
who's kind of conned his way into making people think he's really good. And I guess just the incredible drought of originality that's maybe in that environment, he seems like a real creative person. And I really didn't want to see Cloverfield until, because his name was associated with it, and then I found out he only produced it.
Yeah.
So once I'm like,
he's
okay,
not a director.
He didn't write it, he didn't direct it, so then it might actually be pretty good. I just haven't managed to have the time to go see it yet. But if he had, I don't want to see anything that he's written or directed. And I saw the teaser trailer for the new Star Trek, which I have no desire to see, but I did see the teaser trailer the other day. And
yeah.
If
I didn't see they had the teaser trailer during Cloverfield, and it was basically guys welding.
Yeah, I saw that one.
It's
that's
exciting.
It's managed to piss off some people because
built it on the ground.
But if you
can't make a Star Trek anything without making somebody angry.
Understanding what that movie is going to be, if you needed proof that he's a talentless hack, understanding what he's doing with that movie. Considering the blank check that they gave him.
Right.
And that's all he could come up
with.
And
it's Spock going back in time to stop Romulans screwing around with the timeline.
But that's a whole different thing. And I'm not that big of a Star Trek nerd, but that's a whole different thing.
I just hope the guy that they get to play Kirk does the whole, like, early Kirk stuff.
You mean like the
acts like
when he holds his fist together and hits the guy on the back as hard as he can.
I love that.
or the hair on the back of his neck.
Yeah.
The Kirk hammer fist will break your fingers. Never use that in a fight.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bad idea. It's strictly for use when fighting your little brother.
Sure.
But anyway.
Yeah. But J.J. Abrams is attached to the Cloverfield project. And I didn't know what to make of it at first. And like I said, I'm not a big fan of Lost. I think it's hackneyed. I think it's a lot of, like, different... It's a bunch of stuff all thrown together, and I've seen it a few times, and I just...
It kind of reminds me of Casino Royale, the one with David Niven and...
Right, yeah.
Peter Sellers and Woody Allen and...
The non...
I just want to hear that Ghidra noise.
Yeah.
Can we get that? Are we getting that? I don't know if it'll come through. I'm getting the mic closer.
Now we're just getting fired.
It's not really happening, but
okay. Sorry, I just wanted to hear that.
Sure.
That cool Ghidra.
Hey, if you're listening to the show, you know what we do here. I mean,
you know the Ghidra noise.
But yeah, it's it's got its moments. It's definitely a better film than I thought it was going to be. It's actually better than King Kong, which I was actually really disappointed in.
Yeah, the Peter Jackson King Kong is pretty awful.
It had too much CGI, and they did it for too long, especially the running down the mountain scene with the dinosaurs. That was just out of control bad.
The parts I liked of King Kong are the parts that don't really have any people in them.
Right. I mean, King Kong fighting the dinosaurs was awesome, but like the brontosaurus,
the bugs were pretty neat. The bugs are cool. I like the bugs.
But I just
There's way too much stuff before Kong.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
it kind of wastes you for what you're seeing after that. So
yeah, and then you're just like, ugh. But
because the '70s Kong, for all its
Love that one so much because Charles Grodin's the boat captain.
Grodin. I was going to say. He's wearing
the captain's hat. He looks so cool.
Oddly enough, he plays the same character in that than he does in a lot of his movies, too. He plays, you know, the guy that ends up sort of screwing things up.
Yeah, but that's actually not that bad of a movie, really. I mean, it's dated, you know, but it's really not that bad. And it has a very, very hairy Jeff Bridges in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yes.
An exceedingly hairy.
The hippie scientist.
The dude.
No, he's not a scientist. He's a photographer.
He's like the photojournalist.
Yeah.
But he's got the long hair and that gnarly beard. It's the very hairy Jeff Bridges.
But it also
has what Lebowski did before The Big Lebowski? He was the photographer in the King Kong expedition.
He's actually hairier in this than he is in The Big Lebowski. Yeah. I mean, he's got the hair in The Big Lebowski, but he's definitely got
he's got that real big like neck beard in King Kong. It's like
that was real popular back then because my dad had like a giant neck beard
and that really long
the grizzly ad on his beard everywhere. You know, my dad's beard was so long it bent at the bottom.
But it had Jessica Lange in her prime, and I mean she was looking very hot in this. I mean, which is a testament to Kong was wanting to do it with her.
But that's not really that bad of a movie. It is kind of dated, but it's not really that bad.
What's the did they have some jungle monsters that they used to fight and what is that thing? Well, Land of the Lost had its share of dinosaurs.
Yeah.
You know, then they fought all those and that and but thinking about the prehistoric beasts that roamed and
I think that's another reason why giant monster movies are so popular is because at one point in time the Earth had giant monsters.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there are like forays into like wild zones where like things still exist. A lot of like
Valley of the Guanji, Cowboys versus Dinosaurs.
Oh yes, absolutely.
The lasso scene is
with with the amazing James Franciscus.
Yes.
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 Yeah, you can't beat that sort of stuff. Cowboys versus Dinosaurs is great. And then the new Turok game's getting ready to come out, which I don't know.
I think it has actually.
Came out last
week. Is it out? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. That's a great game. I used to like Turok.
It's an interesting comic book. I've got some of the Silver Age, like, Turok comic books.
I had some, from the 70s, Turok, Son of Stone.
Yeah, it's a really cool concept. And I and the fact that it's managed to live this long, out in the open without a, comic to go along with it.
But then I guess the thing we haven't really touched on is I mentioned briefly some of the stuff from like the 50s with like the stuff becoming giant.
Well, at least in my opinion, the best is them.
Well, without a doubt, them is actually a really good movie. It's a really well-made movie. But then, stuff like Tarantula.
That was fun. I kind of like the Deadly Mantis.
The Deadly Mantis, which is what Beginning of the End, which is the one with Peter Graves and the giant grasshoppers at Salt Chicago.
Oh,
that's about rough.
There's some really awful ones.
What's the one instead of using like a giant puppet thing, they use like pictures of crickets or something?
It's the overlaid footage of grasshoppers crawling on stuff, and they make it look like it's climbing, and that's all.
Kind of like when they would make Journey to the Center of the Earth, and they'd use iguanas as dinosaurs.
The alligator with horns glued to its head and the fin on its back. But
Robert Forster's Alligator. That's a really funny movie.
Yeah. Let's say like there's like the giant Gila monster. That's a very bad one from the 50s. Yeah. there's the one, the, I think it's called the Deadly Scorpion. Something about the scorpion. It's the big giant black scorpion.
Is it called the Black Scorpion?
Something like that. I don't remember. But that's the, it's the giant black scorpion down in Mexico.
Oh, they make a lot of the Sci-Fi Channel makes a lot of giant monster movies.
Yeah.
Some of them are watchable, some of them not
they
so watchable.
Some really awful shit, but.
Yeah. Anaconda versus Boa Constrictor.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's Boa versus Python.
There's Boa 2, Python 2, and then Boa versus Python.
Yeah, and they show them all one day. On
That's when they have giant snake Saturday, and then there's giant bug Saturday.
I'm convinced that in a half an hour I could write a sci-fi script.
We've done it before in less. We did the one with the lost city of the white apes, and the Nazis looking for the time.
Right. Totally needs to be written down so we can actually.
I gotta find what episode was that.
Oh, I can't remember.
Was it the Nazi one?
I think it might have been.
God, that's the best idea for a movie ever.
Sure.
It had Nazis and a lost city of white apes built on top of a diamond mine.
Yep. Yeah, we need to fix that to Sci-Fi Channel. I mean, we can get Bruce Boxleitner to be in it, like he's going to be in that one that's coming on Sunday.
You can get him to be like an Alan Quartermain kind of guy.
This looks so horrible.
It's good stuff, but yeah, it's not difficult. But I think there's like the sort of big, you know, the big creature stuff like that, you know, if it's giant bugs, giant snakes, whatever, you know, but the thing that's so powerful, I guess, to watch with like stuff like the Godzilla movies is like the monsters are so huge that there's like the sense of like there's absolutely nothing you can do, and everyone just runs and panics.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like there's nothing that can be done to stop it.
Well, yeah, like in Cloverfield, they showed the armies like, you know, trying to fight this thing, and it's letting loose babies on the ground, very video game like. But yeah,
I don't think it was so much babies as it was more like something that like it's almost like remoras or something that's like attached itself to the big monster to like get food, because it's literally babies. They're like almost like.
They like fell off of it. I know.
That's
why
I was thinking it was more like something that had sort of like symbiotic relationship with the creature, so much as actually coming from the creature.
Parasites?
Yeah, they could have been. I don't know.
Well, I don't know if it was really parasitic or is it more like a symbiotic relationship, like those birds that clean hippos' teeth and like
yeah.
You know,
but they don't
like
attack
that.
And like eat your face and like make.
Well,
you
hippos
explode.
Also aren't big enough to knock buildings over.
Yeah, true, but they are mean.
Yes.
I saw one on TV.
Most dangerous animal in Africa.
Yeah, that's something.
That was a worm that ate away a fish's tongue and then took its place.
Yeah, that's some creepy stuff. I've seen that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I was thinking it was more something like that than actually
and it actually provided like sustenance for the fish, because what it would do is it would be the fish's tongue. It didn't kill the fish.
Yeah.
It just would replace its tongue, which I'm sure is bad enough. But it would be there to eat, you know, along with the fish.
Yeah,
but gross.
that's what I kind of got from Cloverfield. It was more like a symbiotic relationship between the two than being babies, because it didn't look anything like the creature, though.
The creature was. I was disappointed in the final.
Yeah, there's one full on shot of the creature,
and I think
that the creature looked bad or anything like that. It's just through the whole movie, you're only seeing bits and pieces of it, and it kind of added.
Well, yeah, that's been the downfall of hundreds of monster movies over the years.
Sure.
I mean, the scene, they got to show the monster, you know?
Yeah, but
and then
thing from another world.
It ruins so many of them, because when you only catch the glimpse and the piece, you know, it's... But, you know, people just don't have any imagination anymore. They gotta see everything.
Yeah, they gotta have, like, that in...
It's the equivalent of the money shot.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
I guess I don't understand why people don't figure out that not seeing it is creepier than seeing it. Like when the ear gets cut off in Reservoir Dogs, or
I mean,
because pulling his teeth.
Yeah,
in the Marathon,
that's what I mean. People are dumb and they don't have any imagination. That's why, like all those horrible, awful
torture movies,
torture porn movies, are so painfully fucking stupid. I don't understand. You know, they just show it all.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's the fucking point?
Yeah, it's bloodbath.
And it's, I just don't get it anyway, but that's a different thing anyway. But yeah, I mean, that, I agree. It's much cooler to not entirely show the monster, but
if, but yeah, I mean, obviously, we're talking about like the guy in the rubber suit movies as being, you know, high art, which I adore. You know, Godzilla movies, I just adore them. But this film decided early on that it was going to be this film where it showed you glimpses of the monster. You know, they just should have stuck with that. I just don't think that it was right to go
because
against what they've done throughout the entire
You get
movie.
To see, I mean, you see so many different shots of the monster that you kind of piece together yourself what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Like an Alien, where they never show the whole monster in any one scene. They show parts of it.
Bob from the movie theater was telling me that apparently there's, you know, how, like, jump cuts. Like, you know, the recording over another recording, and you still see some of the old recording on different spots, that you actually, when they're on the Ferris wheel, you can see the thing, like, land into the ocean.
No, when they're
showing, just real briefly, because what it is it's a tape that somebody's, I guess, the Department of Defense
it's done
found.
Very, it's handheld camera documentary style, and it's supposed to be a Department of Defense film.
And what it is they get, you know, I guess, film from the region. You know, somebody that was filming it, and when they're recording over another tape, and some bits of the old tape kind of like pop in here and there, and you can kind of see it. Like that's what Bob was telling me, and Bob is our resident like movie guy. He's actually worked on movies.
We need to get Bob on the show some night.
Bob, you know, I thought about calling him, but since it's a Saturday, he's usually working.
Yeah, because
it's a busy movie night.
But yeah, that's a...
But yeah, I've actually looked him up on IMDb.com. He's on there.
Bob is?
Yeah.
He's been in some stuff.
He's been in movies, and he's worked on movies. Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
And he's a guy...
He's a Louisville legend.
But yeah, it's a decent flick. But, you know, away from that, it's no Monster Zero.
No. It's very enjoyable. I guess there's the Korean movies are the last ones that have hit the shores.
Yeah,
of the giant
monster. I don't.
The newest of the ones, the Dragon movie that
Dragon Wars.
That's the one that's
Dragon Wars, man. Being here tonight, he's just going to be pissed.
I will watch that on cable. I will watch Dragon Wars.
Now, my favorite movie line is Frankenstein has just defeated the French Air Force from Death Race 2000. But my second favorite is from Dragon Wars. There's a cop that pulls up, and there's this big serpentine dragon wrapped around this really tall building. And he gets on his radio and says, we got a cold five at the Nakamura building.
Which, yeah. It's a low number like that,
I know,
too.
It's like, because it happens often enough that it's code five. I mean, he should have to open up his, like, you know, big cops code book. Yeah. And, like, it's a code 3912.
They shouldn't have a code. There shouldn't be a code for something like that.
You just
that.
Want the guy on the other end to go, like, again?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll watch that on cable, but... No, I don't think I've seen...
Well, there's the one where the thing's kind of amphibian.
That's the host.
Yeah, and it's a good movie just because the family that's going to rescue the kid is so, like, dysfunctional.
No, I haven't
seen... That it's worth just watching them interact with each other, much less have a giant
I don't think
monster.
I've seen any of those... any of those
I haven't seen Dragon Wars. I just saw that little clip.
Yeah,
I was laughing so hard I was crying.
I will definitely watch that on cable.
Or at least I think he's seen it.
Or I'll try to, at least.
But yeah, that's...
I never feel compelled to actually finish watching bad... You know, I'll at least try to watch it.
Sure.
If it's that bad, I'll give up, but...
Well, other than not talking about Jurassic Park, because I'm just not going to give Crichton any more airtime. I'm sick of that son of a bitch. I really am. And although somebody did, like, I was talking to my roommate Alex tonight, and he was saying, you know, there's somebody talking about actually making Jurassic Park. And I was like, you mean like an animatronic one? And he was like, no, he's real. And I went, well, way to go. I'm glad that they just didn't listen to that, you know, hacked out scientific reasons why not from Crichton's books, you know. I want them to go ahead and do it. Screw them, man.
But no,
it
was an entertaining movie.
And he turns out to be right. Yeah, I don't care.
I was saying like about the Godzilla movies. I like the fact that they don't get bogged down in the science of it. You know, like a real effort to explain
why are they so big?
What's
because
happening?
Nuclear science. Yeah.
But then that's to say, like Godzilla, they give you some idea of the origin of them, but then they had to come up with giant monsters for them to fight. And they never really explain where they all come from.
Right.
And then by the time you get to like the mid-60s and the franchise is established, they've created this sort of Japan where like everybody just knows that there's giant monsters.
Yeah.
Well, there's a Monster
Island.
And
everybody knows about Monster Island. And
oddly enough, not like claimed by any country. You know, how many islands are there in the world that are big enough to support like monster life?
But they, you know, they've created this like weird, you know, alternate sort of Japan where like everybody's just like, you know, just they know them all, and they know them all by name. You know,
yeah, they're big
fans.
So
it's just strange, and they never really bother to explain, you know.
They love their
baseball. Where Mothra comes from, where Rodan comes from, where they... And I always think it's funny in the movies because, like, when the monster first appears, somebody knows its name.
Yeah.
You know, like, the monster shows up, and they're like...
Well, he definitely needs a name.
And they always know its name, you know, and it's like, well, how do they, you know... But it's strange. And then in Ultraman, there's several where they have to... They like some weird monster shows up and they're fighting it, and then somebody, in the course of the episode, they name it, like the scientists have named it something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like it couldn't just be the fucking monster, you know? They have to.
Well,
name
I mean,
it.
In their defense, they fought enough giant monsters that you just can't call it giant monster.
Well, it's not going to last. It's not going to be there long. Just number it, you know?
Yeah.
It's
like, I think Derek's from Planet X.
So,
he's giving the names to everything.
But I mean, it's funny. But it's funny because it'd be like, you know, the scientists have named the creature or something. So, but
right.
There was one they were fighting this like pink dragon. It was kind of. It was pink and green, I think, if I remember correctly.
Well, did they ever call Godzilla Godzilla in the American Godzilla movie?
Oh, you mean
I don't remember.
I don't think so.
I don't. Like I said, I blanked most of that out of my memory.
It's a good.
Like
thing.
I said, the only thing I could really remember real well is the fact that we blamed it on the French.
Yeah.
Which to me is just hilarious.
Oh yeah, definitely.
The French. But I'm sure there's. Like I was saying with like the international. Kind of imitation things, you know. I'm sure there's many, many, many more of them that.
Supposedly, there's a North Korean one
that never gets seen in this, you know.
That one apparently
North Korean
is,
film. I mean, I know some.
There's supposed to be like a North Korean giant monster movie.
Well, surely they have films. I can't imagine them not.
I named
it's
most.
It's probably like a giant radioactive like Dwight D. Eisenhower that breathes like fire or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like destroying poor villages.
Hey, this is why we don't have any electricity most of the time.
I named the ones I could think of offhand, but I'm sure there's plenty of them from some weird fucking countries that just never get have never. Been shown here. I'm sure those people.
I don't think there's an Australian giant monster.
People
movie.
That are in.
Well, there's that giant Razorback or whatever, the big giant hog movie.
Night of the Lepus, my favorite giant rabbit movie.
Night of the Lepus. That has DeForest Kelly.
Yeah, DeForest Kelly.
And
that's the Star Trek monster
Whitman?
Movie crossover. We
I think it has Stuart Whitman,
there.
And I know it's got DeForest Kelly.
Yeah. Isn't that good in
stuff.
Australia? Isn't that
I don't think so.
I
don't know.
But the giant.
I know they're all freaked out about
in
rabbits
Australia.
In Australia because they brought them over and then they ran them.
Yeah.
They're like some kind of.
I've seen some creepy like film of like rabbits eating dead rabbits over there. It's
yeah,
like,
there's
crazy.
A shit ton of rabbits. Like, yeah. And since there isn't anything to eat them, like.
I guess everybody in Australia is like Elmer Fudd or something. They can't
Dude,
get rid of a stupid
out.
Rabbit.
I mean, I don't understand why there isn't an Australian monster movie. They have some freaky
I'm
stuff.
Sure
they have poisonous mammals.
Maybe that's why. They don't need it. They can walk outside and see like...
And everything is
gonna,
everything's ready to kill you.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Everything is super headly dangerous.
The ants can kill you. It's, the snakes can kill you. Even the weird platypus has got like a poison stinger.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
It's, and in a tradition of monster movies that have, like, some sort of social commentary, you can have an aborigine going...
The killer sheep movie.
You shouldn't be building...
Last year, a killer sheep movie came out from Australia.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. What is that called? I know what you're talking about.
I think it might be called Black Sheep.
It's supposed to be funny as hell.
Yeah, it's supposed to be real funny.
I can imagine it being hilarious. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's I can't believe I forgot about it.
Yeah, I just...
Yeah, like they clone sheep or something, and they end up killing and eating people.
But that is another show. They're not giant sheep.
So yeah, they're unfortunately, they're not giant sheep.
But no, I don't know of any Australian giant monster movies.
Well, I don't want to...
Well, like I said, there's one called, I think, Razorback.
Razorback, the giant...
It's a big giant pig.
Yeah. Pig.
And I think Lance Henriksen's in it, but I'm not positive.
I've never seen any Cuban movies. I can't imagine there being a Cuban
another
giant,
giant capitalist movie. Attacking the poor communist country.
Right.
Yeah. That wouldn't be a giant JFK. I'm here to sleep with your women.
A JFK with, like, laser beam eyes.
As
he rises
kids.
Out of the water in the Bay of Pigs. Yeah. Smashing everything.
Did you see the Futurama that has, like, where they built the giant bender? And then they launch him to the earth, and then he's fighting, and Zoidberg becomes huge. And
yeah.
Who's big now?
Yeah, that's good stuff.
And they fight each other, and then he lands on the
building. But I mean, I was just building. My point, I guess, was that it has global appeal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really a cultural thing. With the issue of, like, yeah, with the social consciousness, you can attach that, and obviously, depending on the nation that the movie's being made in, you know, the message, if there is a message, can be whatever they want it to be, you know. You can blame whoever for creating the giant monster.
Be it the French or the Americans.
Sure. With their reckless and irresponsible and short-sighted.
Or Dan Aykroyd not being able to think of anything but camp.
So you can blame whoever. But the idea of the rampaging giant monster, I guess it appeals.
Mr. Stay Puft wouldn't hurt anybody.
It appeals to... I guess it just, you know, there's the, perhaps it's something primal that, you know, this fear of something so unbelievably huge and you're utterly powerless to do anything about it.
May come from our caveman roots when there were still really big animals running around.
It's from the time when the people and the dinosaurs were... apparently have a dinosaur with a saddle and the god.
Do you think they show the movie Caveman there?
At the Creation Museum.
Which is proof that Ringo was the greatest beetle in the movie
Ringo
Caveman.
Ringo Starr and Caveman.
They feed the Tyrannosaurus Rex, like, the fermented pumpkins, and it gets drunk and falls down.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, that's they did that in 1 million years BC.
Pterodactyl
too,
chicken
man.
Leg, and it's good stuff.
But I'm sure, there have to be all kinds of weird giant monster movies that unfortunately I will probably never get to see.
Oh, yeah, there's tons. So I'm sure, all of us are going to miss out on something. And before we close out, I think we ought to give, like, a little bit of, or at least talk about the great Kaiju Big Battle, which is just really, really cool that they did. I can't watch the version they showed on, like, G4, though, with the commentary dudes.
Yeah,
that
stuff is stupid.
Well, that's what the mute button's for.
Yeah.
But the actual like, fights are pretty damn funny.
For the uninitiated, and it's wrestling in... It's basically wrestling in costumes... From that sort of thing.
Inspired by, like, Godzilla.
I've seen a few of the rings that have, like, little buildings and stuff like that around.
Yeah. And then there's some of, like, there's the fights that aren't, like, in the ring. You know, like, there's sort of, like, the backstage stuff or the sort of run in. There's some stuff, like, in the street. You know, where
the type
of stuff, and it's done. Yeah, I mean, but the fights between, and there's the good guys and the bad guys, and then there's the sort of the rogue characters.
Yeah.
So
Lawler taking the strap down.
So it's kind of like the Justice League and the Legion of Doom type of thing. You know, there's the main. You know, the main guys of the
Plantain Brothers.
There's the good guys and the bad guys, and they have, like, the ongoing war for, like, control of the earth, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's all the weird characters that, like, exist outside of that. They're either, like, totally neutral or so completely insane that they don't have, like, a concept of good and evil, and they just fight everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, Kung Fu Cup Noodle.
Yeah,
yeah. Which is the cup noodle with a hatchet and legs. Yeah. It's like a it's like the
greatest concept ever.
Yeah, and it's like the I think they changed his name because they got like
got in trouble.
He was like Kung Fu Chicken Noodle or something. He's like a can of chicken noodle soup, but it used to be like the instant cup noodle cup.
Yeah, yeah.
With arms and legs, and he had a big hatchet in one hand. But there's the good guys. I remember there's the silver potato.
Yeah.
Who he's supposed to be like, he's wrapped in silver, like supposed to be like a baked potato in foil. He's, and there's that bug guy. It's the something beetle.
American Beetle.
American Beetle, yeah. There's American Beetle. And then there's the two brothers that do in the tag team matches.
It's the Plantains.
There's Los Hermanos Plantanos.
That's
the
right.
The Plantain Brothers. Which are like banana suits with big caricatured Mexican mustaches,
yeah, right,
like
the big, you know, you gotta have
the big bandito mustaches.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be, they're from some, like, you know, tropical country in Latin America, working class boys, you know, and they're the Plantain Brothers. And then the bad guys are headed by Dr. Cube, who's,
he's got a cube for a head.
Yeah, and like the white lab coat. He's like the mad scientist, and many of the bad guys are monsters that he's created.
Yeah.
There's
like, Call Me Kevin.
And there's that one that's like the big garbage thing with the tentacles.
Yeah, yeah, which is really cool.
The coolest of the bad ones is the Hell Monkey. Is that his name?
Hell Monkey?
The red monkey with one eye.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like a furry monkey suit, but he's got one big eye.
In his, sounds awesome.
In his forehead, but he's Hell Monkey, and he's like, and he's like blood red monkey suit. But it's very strange. I don't know the whole origin of it, but there's many videos.
It's
available.
Definitely something.
Yeah,
to look for.
It's yeah.
It's, I'm sure
it's on the YouTube.
Yeah, I'm gonna say there's YouTube
pretty easily.
But hopefully, yeah. But the commentary stuff is dumb. But when they actually show the fights, it's funny because it's called like classic wrestling is called. You know, and it's they'll get up on the top rope and jump, and then they'll go out of the ring and fight. Then they'll get back in the ring, and then they'll pick up stuff. And but it's done like a big monster movie battle because there's several where they're like they'll pick up the prop building,
and
smash it over
building,
somebody's head with like a
chair.
Skyscraper, you know. But it's very strange. But Kaiju Big Battle,
yeah, that's something to watch. But yeah, obviously we're big monster movie fans, and there's a lot out there, and. Steering you towards the early classic Toho movies, you know, you just can't go wrong with that stuff. So.
And definitely watch them.
Yes. And
them is the best of the 50s giant bug movies by far.
Yeah.
There's like nothing even remotely close.
It's Food of the Gods also. Food
it's got a lot of good Thompson submachine gun action in it, too.
But,
them
you know,
it is really good.
The H.G. Wells stuff.
Food of the Gods.
Marjo Gortner.
Yeah.
And I think that has... I think that's the one with the old half-drunk Ida Lupino in it, if I remember correctly. I just remember Marjo Gortner shotgunning and the rats with the squibs going...
Yeah, yeah.
Taping squibs to rats. That must have been
the
a
real
good...
rats with...
Yeah, with squibs.
Yeah.
It's like... when you see the rat go, oh! Because that's back when you could do that kind of shit. You could tape a squib to a
No.
It's back when you could do that. How do we simulate
shooting? Rats were harmed in the making of this film.
How do you simulate shooting a rat? Oh, we'll just tape a squib to it. So the rats are walking along, and he goes, pow! And they jump.
Scared
like,
the hell out of the rat. Oh, that's
rats
great.
And rabbits, and it's got other animals, but I've never read that book.
No, I haven't either. I
seem to recall reading it, but I don't remember much from it. Other than when they were supposed to try to solve the world's food problem by coming up with this.
Yeah, it was they find the food of the gods, and that's what the... Well, I guess that's it from us. So, from Destructive Moodle, this is James.
This is Jeremiah.
Emmy.
Good night.